Welcome back, everyone, to the Language of Behavior. My name is Joshua Stamper, and on screen, someone is back from her cruise, Charlie Peck. Thank you so much, everyone, for being with us. Charlie, you were missed as Mitch Weathers filled in for your spot, and as though he did a wonderful job, I would say, there was just a piece missing from this equation, and so good to see you.
Thank you. Same with you. It's really crazy when you go away and come back. It does give you perspective. You just think of all the wonderful things that have gone on and that you do. So I love it. Thank
you. Are you just bombarded with so much work now that you've been gone?
You know what? Probably, but you know, I can take it by stride. What do you do? I actually sent out reminders well in advance.
Yes.
Delegated, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not too overwhelmed.
You had a proactive plan so you weren't in the midst of craziness when you got back?
I sure did. Awesome. Got it.
Love it. Well, Charlie, both you and I are supporting a lot of different educators, and a lot of the work that we do is up front when we do our keynotes or we're working with the school for the first time, and we kind of work through trauma responsive aspects of it. But to get there, we also do a teach piece where we're talking about different behaviors. And some of the things that keep coming up is behaviors that teachers are seeing in classes, and they don't really know where to categorize that. And so we were going to spend this episode really just kind of answering a lot of questions that we get from a lot of different folks, but specifically with the fight, flight, or freeze behaviors. And so I'd love to throw it your way. I know this is something that you're working with all the time. So where would you like to start the conversation?
Well, I think it's important to understand why it matters to understand what fight, flight, or freeze is for both staff and students. We always like to cover both because one influences the other. And so that's why I always like to start there. And so when we understand the big picture of why the flight, fight, or freeze occurs and why it matters, it helps us to reduce our misinterpretation of their behaviors. It reduces power struggles, emotionality, that reactivity, and the burnout. I mean, we get overwhelmed when we don't know, but when we do know, we actually are better equipped. We're better equipped with knowledge. We can just recognize the behaviors differently and not personalize it, which means that we can stay more focused and in control of ourselves. So it's really helpful for both. What about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a misperception a lot of times. And we've talked a little bit about this as far as triggers, but we didn't really go into like the behaviors that they might see in these different states. But also I think, you know, we're teaching a lot of folks of like, well, this obviously is a response to something and this is what it's looking like versus, oh, they just don't care about my class or they hate school, they hate me, they hate the subject matter, or it's just a bad kid, right? I think a lot of times we kind of try to compartmentalize who the child is versus it being a natural brain response to something that occurred in their own life. So that could be on campus or off campus. So I love talking through this, especially because a lot of the behaviors I talk about specifically with flight are things that I did as a kid. So I think for me, I think a lot of labels were placed on me as a child, as a student, as far as like wasted potential, he doesn't care about school, you know, fill in the blank, right? And so for me, it's like, well, no, that actually was something a lot deeper. But like for me and you, we get the opportunity to teach on this and help folks understand truly what's going on versus just kind of pushing the child aside.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny because the activities we get to do when we're together are centered around that. We get to get people to like chat, like look at the behavior and say, is this fight, flight, or freeze? And oftentimes it's more than one or can be categorized. But there are certain things that are pretty obvious, or you could say, okay, what category is this? Well, that's fight. And so we like to do that when we're in person with people, but we're going to do a little bit of that here. I want to give some examples. We won't make a game out of it. We want this to be informative. But when you go back, listeners, when you go back to your staff meetings or your classrooms, go ahead and throw out a behavior. Talk about this with kids. Let them know that you're thinking about them in this way. It'll help build empathy. It'll actually help them regulate better because there's conversation and awareness around it. But throw out a behavior and say, okay, how would you categorize this? Create a worksheet. That's what Josh and I do when we're working with people in workshops. Here's a worksheet. Where would you categorize this? So let me give you one. For example, arguing. Where would you put that? Of course, that one's the easiest one. What would you say, Josh? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, most people say fight.
Of course. It's to push back to get that control. Other things that you would say are like talking back, refusing to comply, which also could be in a freeze category too. So you could argue these. The whole point of these are just to say, like, let's have a conversation about what that behavior is about. It's really about decoding, which you and I like to do. I'll give a few more and then you go ahead and chime in too. Some other things that are in that fight category are aggression sometimes. And I would argue some of the other areas too, but aggression, because that shows up in a lot of ways. If you have a loud voice, that could also be fight. And oftentimes that's the fight reflex to say, listen to me, like, hear me. And so it's not that I'm bad and I want to be bad. It's hear me, I matter. That's what they're really screaming for. Or that power imbalance might be there. And so they're fighting for that power and control back. All right, Josh, I'm going to swing it back to you. What are you thinking?
Usually I highlight a couple that are, again, things that are misconceptions. So for instance, like on the fight piece, you know, acting silly. I think a lot of times people don't associate that as a response to get back at either a peer or a teacher, especially if the student knows the buttons to push with that teacher. That could easily be a fight scenario. Being hyperactive also, I think we just kind of look at what you're talking about, like the aggressive behavior and the acting out. But sometimes some of these other things that these kids are doing are really meant to get a fight response from the other person. The other thing too is like freezing. Sometimes kids are refusing to even get their own needs met because their brain is in that survival mode. And sometimes we don't associate that behavior specifically with freeze. So those are just a few that I kind of highlight. As we do this, Charlie, and you know this, we have like our list of all the different behaviors and we have them in these nice little categories for everyone to kind of see that. And typically those three things I just said are the ones that bring up the most questions from folks, from teachers, because they're like, one, I don't either agree with it or I'm confused as to why it's in that category. And so those are the three that I typically am getting questions on and have to kind of walk through, because I think combative behavior, especially with that fight, can look a lot of different ways for kids.
Yes. And it really triggers teachers. It bothers teachers. It annoys and irritates teachers. They feel threatened and they certainly don't need to feel threatened in their classrooms. But like you and I teach a lot, it's that if we have this understanding, we go into the situation with a completely different lens and we provide those tools to use when we're in those situations too, to help prevent these behaviors in the first place. That's the whole key here. It's not being able to label. We don't care about labeling kids. We don't really want to blame them. And it's not that we don't want to hold them accountable. That's not at all what we're saying. We talked about that in another episode. It's not about that. It's about going into it so we can decode the behavior or really prevent the behavior and identify it so that we can have conversations around it, just like we're doing right now. Have these conversations. In fact, play this episode. It's not very long. Play it in your next PD and start the conversation and give those sheets to people. Like, put a group that has just the fight reflexes. And what does that look like? So have them listen to this and have them make a list of what that looks like. What do fight and flight and freeze reflexes look like in your classroom? And what can we do to look differently at these kids or help support these kids? Because guess what? When they're in that fight mode, here's what it feels like to them. They might be saying to themselves, well, I need to win or I'll lose control. And that can happen in so many ways in their life that it's really scary. Or they might be thinking, you're embarrassing me. That's often the case. Or I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do about it, or I can't admit it. And I'm actually working with McGraw-Hill International on this. We're covering this and I love this topic. And they're just, it's such a neat experience because the conversation is about, sometimes it's related to like impulsivity issues like ADHD, anxiety, and that worry, that fear. And also there's just their kids, right? Adolescents. They're just trying to figure out their place in the world. And so their internal experience is very different than what they're showing us or how we feel about them. So lots of things can happen. And thinking about how it can be triggered, like feeling called out, feeling stupid or exposed. That's why presentations are hard for kids, or being called on them, especially if they didn't raise their hand. Sudden changes, lots of things can trigger this. So it's just a conversation we need to have.
Yeah. And I think once teachers understand the behaviors and associated with this, then I think it gives them a different lens to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe I need to have some more things on the front end to be proactive so that that doesn't occur, like you're saying, right? So maybe it's not calling on that kid, especially if it's maybe a subject matter that they're not strong in or they're aversive to, because maybe they don't like it because they're not successful previously. So, you know, there's some things that you can understand. Okay, well, if they are going to get into this fight mode or this flight mode, and I see that and I can associate that with the trigger, well, obviously I'm going to change my practices because I don't want to get that student in that state of mind. And I think as an administrator, and you've probably seen this too, as a social worker, is like, you know, maybe a student comes out with a teacher due to whatever behaviors being exhibited in the classroom, and you can see that that student's nowhere to have that conversation. Like, they are completely in survival mode. Their brain is locked down. Nothing is being inputted. And I think when teachers are given this professional development, they can understand, okay, well, we need to take a beat. We need to take some time to let this kid get stabilized and back regulated as far as their emotions and letting their brain, you know, have some time to then be able to have that conversation. I think just practices as a whole, both on the front end and the back end, I think changes once you start to see these behaviors and where they fall, because I think a lot of times they just don't know what to do, like we said in the past. So love doing this PD with folks. And I hope if more folks have like some behaviors that they know of that we haven't mentioned today, that you jump in the comments. So we've mentioned this before, Charlie, both in YouTube and Spotify, they give the option for those who are listening to jump in the comments. And we love hearing what you have to say, what's going on in your world. If there's something else that you want to contribute, of course, jump in there. Now, I'm looking at the time, Charlie. Do you want to do a quick behind the banter before we close things down?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Charlie, last week I had Mitch participate in this. And so I had some folks reach out to me that were completely laughing at Mitch's first job. And then we also did a second question. So since we're talking about fight, flight, or freeze, what is one of your biggest pet peeves in the classroom?
Oh, goodness. Repetition. So if somebody repeats a question or says something over and over, that drives me nuts. That happens at home too, but in the classroom, oh my God, repetition. I'm like, I got you. I'm just processing. Like, I'm thinking, don't ask me again. That bothers me.
So if they're just like continuously asking the same question or not listening to the question and then asking the question?
Well, it's more in succession. Yes, because I'm very impatient. And so I need them to just wait, let me think about it.
You've mentioned that before.
Right. But do you see how that goes? That like I'm the impatient one and I need them to wait on me.
It's terrible. It's that control piece.
I think so. Right. Yeah. I think so. It drives me nuts, but
I'll have to think about this. So my classroom, because it was an elective art class, I allowed talking while they worked, and there was a lot of group projects and that didn't bother me, but there was like a threshold of sound. And if it got past that, you know, like a kid like slams something on the table or, you know, they're working with a large tool and makes a loud sound, like that always, even in my house now, I have a million kids. So like, I don't know what it is, but there's like a certain level of like decimal. If it goes beyond that, I just can't handle it.
It's funny how you know that about yourself. It really is
a trigger for me.
I'll be careful not to be too loud, Josh.
You're never too loud, Charlie. But
you know, the question reminds me, like I taught high school for 18 years, but it's the younger kids who did that with the repetition, which is that I spent just a little bit of time in the elementary level. That's what popped up in my mind, which is funny. I had so much tolerance for adolescence and I loved it. And I love those little ones, but it was the questions that were repeated. Not that I didn't mind when they asked a question and needed it heard a different way to be explained. Right. It was the repetition. And my kids will tell you the same darn things. It bothers me. Can you tell?
Well, it's funny how each level has their little picadillos that come up. So all that being said, we love your questions. So we're going to have the bit.ly. It's a short form. So keep asking away. We love hearing from that, both on site, if we're, you know, on a campus or at a conference, or if you're listening to an episode and want to share something out, you know, maybe something's going on in your world that we can assist with. Of course, Charlie's website and my website are in the show notes. And of course, we would love for you to pick up a copy of The Language of Behavior, as we are consistently hearing that this time of year is really stressful for folks. And so if you're looking for additional strategies to help out in the classroom or on your campus, we think that's a wonderful resource for you. Charlie, do you want to end the episode with some words of wisdom in regards to our topic today?
I do, because we didn't really say much about flight or the freeze, and that's kind of purposeful. We did spend it on fight, but I do want you to think about this. Flight is about avoiding something to look for security. So people on flight It's not that they're lazy. They're just escaping a perceived threat. I'm not saying it's never laziness, because I've gotten lazy, but it's not really about that, especially if it's repeated. And then the freeze, it's about shutting down again to be in a survival mode. Our brain is trying to just keep us in survival all the time. So it's not that they're apathetic. They're overloaded.
Yep. Love it. Again, if you need any assistance, head over to Charlie's website, thrivingeducator.org, or you can head over to mine, joshstamper.com. We'd love to hear from all of you. And if we can assist in any way, we'd love to do that too. With that, Charlie, I hope you and all the listeners have a wonderful week, as we will see you again here very, very soon.
Great. Thanks, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.